0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Now, we're told the government is pressing ahead with the development of the National Maternity Hospital on the site of St Vincent's Hospital down the road from us here in Dublin 4. This is in the teeth of a very divisive debate during which much has been said about the role of the nuns in all of this. And our next caller now got in touch with us saying that they are appalled. Patricia, you're appalled at the way the nuns are being referred to in this debate.
Yeah, I feel that during the discourse on the National Maternity Hospital, I'd like to strongly object to the way nuns are being referred to. I don't think any other profession would tolerate the disrespect with which they're being referred to. My grand-aunt was a Bon Secours nun. I feel like I have to speak up for her. She was 14 years old when she joined the convent. She lived a life of indentured domestic servitude. She died in penury. I see her as a Magdalene girl. She came from a devout family of 10 children where she had no choice but to join the order. She absolutely sacrificed her life along with many, many others who made our lives ultimately better now by providing free healthcare, free education. And it hurts me to think of her every time the nuns are referred to so disparagingly in the national media.
Yeah, and even the way we say the nuns, I mean, obviously the nuns in question that we're talking about down the road in St. Vincent's are the religious sisters of charity. But
if we spoke about farmers or teachers or comedians or any other profession the way we speak about the nuns, they would be national outcry.
Do you understand, though, you know, why there was such a debate around the role of the nuns in this
Absolutely.
Particular case? Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think you cannot, in every profession, there will be bad apples, and you can't tar a complete profession, especially a profession who was so self-sacrificing for the most part and so idealistic. I think it's just such an injustice to speak about nuns the way we're referring to them in the national media.
I suppose that, well, you know, you talk about your grand-aunt, and, you know, I had an aunt myself who would have been around that same age when they were professed or when they joined an order. You said that you think of her as a Magdalene, but I suppose the difference is it was her choice to join.
Absolutely, she had no choice to join.
She had no choice.
She had absolutely no choice. She was 14 years old when she was noted to be very devout at Mass. Someone suggested from the Bon Secours order that she would make a good nun. She was taken to the convent where she had never seen a gramophone before. She was waltzed around the room. Next thing she noted, her parents were gone. And that's how she joined. That's how she found out that she was becoming a nun.
But okay, and you could say in that scenario that young girl, she was a child still, obviously at 14, that she was, you know, a victim maybe of an ideology that she, you know, had no hand, act, or part in.
And there were countless others like her who I feel were as much victim of the Magdalene system as the unfortunate girls who ended up in the laundries. But she had exactly the same life. She worked in a laundry and a kitchen for her. When she was an old nun and I was a child, she came on holidays to visit us. And my parents went to a wedding and couldn't drop her back to the convent. And she got on the bus with no money and was humiliated by the bus driver and made get off the bus. And she was in her 80s. Like, I just think to do that to somebody who has worked for free their entire life, I just feel so badly for nuns and other religious who have to listen to the discourse around the National Maternity Hospital.
But when you say that this was, you know, they were the victims of this setup as much as any of the Magdalene girls that were put, you know, placed with them, they did perpetuate it as well, though. They did, you know, they were in charge of these institutions in many cases.
I think there were certain individuals in power, but I think there were so many who had no power within the system.
And, you know, your aunt, and I mean, that picture you paint of an elderly lady in any circumstances, but in a circumstance, as you say, an elderly woman who has taken a vow of poverty, who doesn't have any, you know, who doesn't have any money, you know, or any access to money. I mean, that's obviously horrific and should not never have happened. I mean, do you know why it happened or what happened in that circumstances?
I think her whole life she had lived in poverty, so it never even occurred to her. She was, I suppose, institutionalized. She never lived a life outside of poverty. And I just think it's such a slap in the face for, there are lots of nuns in their 80s and 90s and 70s around Ireland who feel that, you know, they did something for their community, not for themselves. And here they are now being spoken of so disparagingly. It must be so hurtful. It's hurtful to me as the grandniece of somebody like that. I just can't imagine what it's like for them.
And how do you know, and I know you were young and she was an elderly woman at that stage, but do you know how she felt about her life? I mean, was she happy that she had made, you know, sacrificed her life in this way?
Is that only at the end of her life that she disclosed that story to my mother? So, I don't know, I was only a child, but, like, I'm sure every religious person in Ireland must look into their heart and say, God, did I make the right decision? Like, nuns are people too. I'm appalled by the way that people are speaking about them on the national airwaves.
I suppose the thing is that a lot of people have had, you know, personal experience of nuns in positions of authority. You know, that's been the reality for all of us, because we've lived our life in a country where nuns were in positions of authority. And they weren't always happy experiences for people.
Like, I don't think anyone can say that any profession is without, you know, people who aren't people or who don't get on or who aren't suited to lives of working with people. But I think that's across the board. I think everyone has had teachers they didn't like, or nurses they didn't like. And it wasn't just because they were nuns or not nuns. Like, I don't think you can tar a complete profession with the one brush.
Yeah, but I suppose because the relationship people have with certain orders, particularly the orders that ran, and it was yourself that mentioned the Magdalens, that ran those Magdalen laundries, and indeed the order involved in this case, the Religious Sisters of Charity, they did run a number of those Magdalen laundries. There is a sense that there hasn't been any contrition for that, or any kind of acknowledgement, or certainly no payment from, you know, these orders, some of them quite wealthy orders, to, you know, offer redress to the women who went through them.
Can I tell you a story about my local convent? When it needed a new roof, the nuns were turfed out and told to find alternative arrangements rather than the orders paying to re-roof the convent. And this was their home, and there were a lot of old nuns in the convent at the time. I don't think any other group of people would just say, yes, no problem. I think there are accountants making decisions for orders that are totally not in keeping with what the order, the nuns on the ground would want. So I think it's very unfair to blame the nuns, when very often it's money men who are making these decisions about what the orders pay and don't pay for.
Do you think that has been an issue for orders of nuns over the years? That actually we think that they are running the show, but actually there is...
Absolutely, absolutely. I think they're so institutionalised by their oath of obedience that they will leave their home, even though they don't have alternative accommodation, because an accountant says it doesn't make financial sense to re-roof this convent given the fallen locations.
But going back to the issue at hand down the road here in St. Vincent's Hospital, can you understand why people would be nervous to have sisters involved with an ethos that would have issues around certain procedures, perhaps, involved in medical care of women?
The last time that I looked, there weren't too many young nuns in Ireland, so I don't think people need to worry about 300 years' time.
So you think that was an unnecessary faff, really, do you?
Yeah.
Patricia, will you stay with us, please, Patricia? Because I've got somebody on another line who agrees with you. I think they do anyway. Bree, there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, Bree, there, you also would have had a very good experience.
Would appreciate what that lady said there. Not all nuns were bad. And Ireland would have been a very bad place had we had no nuns. Like, if you think who ran our hospitals in the beginning was all nuns. And they were kind, they were generous, and without them, a lot of people would have died before their time. I attended St. Mary's School for Marion for the blind, and I never experienced corporal punishment. Never. Yes, we'd probably be... We weren't angels. Like, no child is an angel. No matter who's bringing them up, let it be their parents or anything. I can tell you, I got more beatings from my mother than I did from the nuns. And for silly things. You didn't wash the clothes properly. If the cat knocked down the sugar bowl and the cup broke when they weren't there. Simple, silly things like that to me. And I'm going to tell you now about your Magdalen Laundries. Who sent their daughters to these places but their parents? Their parents got them shifted out in the night so that the neighbours wouldn't know. What will the neighbours say is what your mammy or my mammy would say if I went in and said I was pregnant. I'd be afraid to tell her I was pregnant. But anyway, parents were the downfall of their daughters, not the nuns. Now, how would the nuns cope with maybe 10 girls coming in the 1 week expecting a baby, the baby that wasn't wanted by their grandparents?
But Breda, when you hear the accounts, and the, you know, we've heard many of them now over the years, because finally a lot of those women, you know, a lot of them are elderly women now, are able to speak out and describe their experiences in these institutions. Mm-hmm. They weren't happy experiences, Breda, by any manner or means.
No,
you,
they weren't
you couldn't
happy.
Stand over
but
what happened to those girls.
Put them there. The nuns but didn't once they were, to bring your daughter.
But once they were there, how they were treated while they were there, surely that has to count for something.
Yeah. Maybe I'd admit, I don't know. I don't think anyone would be cruel to a baby. And I know it was terrible to see how the babies, when they died, had nowhere to bury them. But could the parents not take the child home and bury it when it died? They didn't get the chance. I mean, to me, parents were wrong. They were very, very wrong. Yes, maybe some nuns were wrong, but my experience of the nuns, we got a powerful education. Had I stayed at home, I wouldn't be able to do my own housework now. I wouldn't have been able to mind my 11 children.
You have 11 children, Breda?
Well, they're all growing up now.
Fair play.
And they all have children of their own.
It's very convenient.
I can tell you, who's getting married now? Look at that. And my children are not all married anyway. And they do have children. Some of them are married, some of them are not married. And we think no more of the children of the parents who didn't get married than the parents who did get married.
Patricia,
and that's the way it should have been that time.
Sorry, Breda, are you trying to get back in there, Patricia?
No, I was just going to say, like, it's very convenient for society to be able to scapegoat people who more than likely won't speak back. But, like, in the week where we have heard about injuries that happened to Santina, that poor child from Cork, yeah. I mean, is institutional care worse or better than the care that some parents give their children? I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong or what the answer is, but these are questions we need to ask ourselves as a society. And I think Catholics in Ireland, without the education and healthcare provided by religious orders, would not enjoy the comfort and the prosperity they enjoy currently, but for generations of girls who worked for nothing.
Do you think we are just... you know, outrageously
ungrateful, Patricia? Well, I think in this case, we have to stop criticising the nuns. They gave them Vincent's Hospital. They gave them the grounds. They're not going to
well,
leave
I think the point,
300
Breda,
years.
Breda,
how many, who's going to be alive in 300 years?
Breda, I have to say this because we'll be getting lots of calls in if I don't. I think the point there was that they didn't give us the grounds, that they agreed
well,
to lease the grounds for
nuns,
a long period for a small sum.
If I was them nuns now, I would say, to hell with the whole lot of you. Get your ground. get your hospital, suit yourself. We did our best. You didn't appreciate it. And I would walk away. The nuns are not to be blamed. And there's not very many of them left. And they only for the nuns, a lot of children would have died anyway. The hospital, they have adults with the diet. There was no one to run the hospitals but nuns. Maybe you're too young to remember, Katie, that I went to hospitals when I was young and there was no one else there, only nuns.
Oh, indeed. You know? And schools as well. I mean, the nuns were everywhere, really, in education and healthcare over those decades and only in the
and
last couple
the
of decades.
As the previous lady said, some of them were there because they didn't want to be there. Because their parents made them go there too.
Yeah.
It was great to have a nun or a priest in the family. My God, you were wealthy anyway, because you couldn't put them in if you were poor.
Yeah. And one of each, if you were a particularly lucky family back in the day. Would you stay there, Breitha? I've got Lisa. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. You're listening to Patricia and Breitha there.
Yeah, and my line cut. I couldn't quite hear which lady was which, to be honest with you, Katie. But I'm just appalled at listening to anyone trying to defend the indefensible and to minimise the pain and suffering of thousands upon thousands of women, children and men at the hands of nuns and the church. I mean, that cannot be. We can't simply say, oh, this one was nice and that one was nice. In my mind's eye, if a nun, even the one who was decent, shall we say, if she was there and she witnessed the apparent cruelty, well, then she's complicit in the whole thing because she watched it and did nothing.
But did they have power, though, those nuns, Lisa?
Of course they had. They did the power to open them. And I do understand that they were part of an order and it was, you know, a lot of the nuns were young going in themselves. And I understand that. I do, Katie, to a degree. But, there's, you know, one of the ladies was saying they're older now. Well, you know, if they're older now, let's not just start defending them when it comes to money, because the monetary gain and all of this for the church is, you know, this is always the time when you'll find people speaking up and defending them. You know, the older ones, why are they not coming out and saying, sorry, I was there to witness your baby being pulled from your arms and being sold to the highest bidder. Sorry that you were left in labour for 36 hours with no pain relief. Sorry that your child was put into a defect ward because it had a hair lip. Stuff like that. I mean, they're older now, so have the honesty to come forward and say, sorry. Don't just come on out talking now. Because there's money involved, and that's what sickens me, Katie.
Patricia, there'd be a lot of people will feel the way Lisa feels.
I think it's really due to what you've been exposed to during your life. I mean, the nuns and priests I knew were the most selfless, giving people. Most of all my ancestors were either preachers or teachers, and the ones who went abroad and worked as missionaries, they devoted their whole lives to what they felt was an ideal. And the ones I knew who taught me in school, the ones I knew who worked on shoestring budgets in hospitals, they were just remarkable individuals. Were there bad individuals amongst a cohort of people? Absolutely, as there is in any profession.
But no, you don't get that in every profession. Hang on, sorry, Patricia. I would absolutely love, I'd love to buy a pair of those rose-tinted glasses you're wearing. I'd love to wear them. I think for you to, you know, you're glorifying right across the board there, and you're talking about your ancestors and people you know. And that's great for you, Patricia. Congratulations that you've never personally been touched by the horror of the Catholic Church and those who, you know, apparently worked and did God's work. There was no God's work done there to those women, to those children in institutions, in child prisons, let's face facts. Reformatories, what does that word mean? No child went into any reformatory and was reformed. Reformed for what? Like, how can you defend that? How? My father was in one of those kips. He was in Offaly. I won't name the place, Katie, just in case. But he was incarcerated in there. And that's what it was. And he was looked after by Christian Brothers. and there were nuns there too. And let me tell you now, he wasn't reformed. And let me tell you, I'm 51 years of age, and me, I personally have felt the ripple effect of that right throughout my life. So don't rose-tint glass this, Patricia, because I know what I'm talking about. And the apparent cruelty was disgusting. It was appalling what was done to those children. It's indefensible. My father was made as a child to go out, and I have it on record, and I'm happy to send them in to Katie. My father was made as a 15-year-old boy go out to a slaughterhouse, cut the neck of a pig and drink blood straight from it, hot blood. That was his breakfast. So explain that to me. Where's the good in that, Patricia? How is that reforming a child? How come all these children went in and worked on farms, women making rosary beads? You know, we have St. Patrick's there on the Navan Road. There was a, you know, your baby was christened in there. All the materials, the rosary beads, the baby's gowns, everything was made by those women prisoners, because that's what they were, prisoners. Let's not bandy about with words. They made all that clothing, blankets. You weren't allowed to buy your own stuff from outside. It had to be bought in there. No one got wages. They were slaves.
But Lisa, I've got Mark on another line, and I think Mark knows more than he wishes he knows about this. Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I'm taken back at the sort of the revisionist sort of take on how the nuns and the orders in Ireland. We've known for years now that of the cruelty that was perpetrated on the women and children, and there's no, that's not, that's without doubt, you know.
What's your own story, Mark? Just remind us.
I was born in Magdalene Laundry. Mother was sent there at 3 months pregnant, and just that the fact that we were second class. The women were there to be punished. They were penitents. They were there to be punished. They weren't there to be cared for or supported, you know.
But I suppose it's Patricia's. You know what Patricia is suggesting is that the nuns who were there were incarcerated in another way.
No, the nuns were there. They were part of a system. Yes, of course, they were part of a system. But the system was set up to punish the women and girls of Ireland due to a sort of a warped view of morality and sexuality that viewed children as only being legitimate out within marriage.
Mark, I do think that was society's view.
You can't let society, that's too simplistic. You know, that's too simplistic to let just
no,
save society.
It's much more simplistic to think that it was the nuns. The nuns were just acting on behalf, doing the dirty work of the state.
So they were... what's coming to mind now is that they were only following orders. Like that's ridiculous to sort of pander that out. Like, you know, this went on not just for a couple of years. This went on for generations, which was the foundation of the state right up until the 80s and 90s. You know, that this was policy, and people were complicit in maintaining it, and. You say, you know, the girls were sent. Somebody was saying the girls were sent by their parents. What options had they? Where were they? Where
Absolutely.
Else was there to go? Yes, yeah. but to go to a place to be punished, to be penitent.
No, I'm talking about girls who joined up before they were adults. They had no choice in becoming religious sisters. Like, I don't see them as having any.
You're conflating
more
two separate
freedom.
Arguments here. You're conflating two separate points here. That you still can't let the harm that was done on the women and the children of Ireland off by just saying, and also
by
saying...
These are women too, Mark. I mean,
yes.
These are women too. These are girls who have as much right to freedom and life and prosperity as anyone else.
Well, where are they now?
I think the nuns were often doing the dirty work of the state. The state wasn't in a position or didn't prioritise the care of these people.
The care, the word care is misnomered there. You know, there was no care. There was no care. The care was just, the reason why the institutions stopped was because they were no longer economically viable. The nuns were getting, the orders were getting paid on behalf of the state to do this work, to care for children.
And I think society began to see it as unacceptable. Society was absolutely accepting of it for a long time.
Yes, but it was it went right from the foundation of the state, the turn of the century, right up until there was 78 to 80 years of this. So it wasn't just a short, you know, impact of one government or one policy. This was policy, but it was the actively engaged by the religious orders. You know, they knew it wasn't like there was a few bad apples. It was an acts of policy of punishment and penitentiary for the women and the girls. And I can't believe that there is this revisionist view now that there's a few bad apples or they were following orders. This was policy.
Or, Mark, is it just that you don't want to see another view? I mean, everyone is entitled to their own view.
I can take your view, but I can't believe that you're sort of saying there's bad apples in every profession or there's a few. You can't conflate this argument with a policy that went on for 70 years in the state, all of the Ireland of Ireland, both sides.
I think it was very convenient for society and the state to give the dirty work to somebody.
Convenient. I suppose we the children and the girls were a sort of an inconvenience that had to be dealt with, I suppose. And this was the way that we were dealt with.
I don't, to be fair, Mark, I don't think Patricia was suggesting that.
Our status up until 1987 was illegitimate bastards, officially on paper. That was the status. That's the way we were held with contempt. There was a 1 in 7 chance of infant mortality. We were lucky to get out alive.
Do you accept, can I ask you, Patricia, do you accept, looking back now from this perspective, that a lot of these nuns, as well-meaning or maybe as, institutionalised as they may have been themselves, that they were caught up in this ideology? They thought this was a good thing, that suffering was getting them closer to God, and the suffering of these women was getting those women closer to God, and that they did, you know, enthusiastically, they were purveyors, enthusiastic purveyors of this.
I think religion is the opium of the people for good and bad. I think there were really hard times, and I think life was hard for a child inside and outside an institution, though absolutely wrong. You cannot say something is wrong, it's right. It was absolutely wrong, but life was absolutely really hard for a single mother in Ireland at that time. I'm not making any excuses. What's wrong is wrong. And I'm really sorry that anyone had to suffer. But I do think there were nuns who suffered as well as non-religious people who suffered.
Yeah. But where are they now, Katie? Why can't they come out now and say what they saw, what they were complices in? Like, why can't they not do that?
That's a good... Patricia, well, I'll come back to you with that just after this. Please stay there. And we've got other calls on both sides of this. And Mark, please stay there. Lisa, stay there. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Or text us on 51551. Patricia, just that point. Why aren't we seeing more sisters, nuns coming forward now and putting their hands up and saying, I'm horrified at what I took part in or what you know, at the regime that I contributed to. Why don't we see more of that? In fact, you hear the opposite stories. You hear people who, you know, were dealing with nuns over the years trying to get information about their birth parents, their backgrounds, and that they were, you know, sent on wild goose chases or, you know, not given the cooperation they deserved. So is that not a good point from Lisa?
Like, I can't explain the bad behaviour of anyone, but all I can report is on the religious sisters that I knew. And like, when I spoke to, say, the nuns who were being evicted from their convent, and I said, you know, you can't just be dumped out of your home like this. You know, anyone else would ring Joe Duffy. They would never object because they're so used to being obedient. So, like, I think a lot of them, just like all human beings, I think the vast majority of them are good. And I think a lot of them never got into the habit of speaking up because that was against their oath. And so maybe that's why more of them aren't more vocal.
Yeah.
But it's because nobody seemed to be objecting to the way people were referring to religious sisters over the national maternity. I didn't even want to bring up about the Magdalene laundries. I don't know how it spiraled into this debate, but I just wanted to object to the fact that over the last few weeks, and we've been referring to the National Maternity Hospital, everything has been so negative about the nuns. I just think it's unfair and it's unbalanced, and it goes against all ideals of journalism to not represent anyone from, you know, I think an awful lot of them joined, some of them hadn't a choice to join, some of them joined with ideals in mind, and I think they were as much pawns in the system as anyone else, and that the real power brokers were not the 90-something percent of nuns who were just soldiers in a war that benefited somebody else. I do think, you know, the real power brokers were never at the coal face.
Patricia, I've got somebody who might agree with you here, I think. Peter, good afternoon to you.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, you've been listening to our debate.
I was, yeah. Now, I don't have any experience of the nuns as such, but I was educated by the Christian Brothers in Greystones and in Bray. I have to say, the education I received was fantastic. I wouldn't have received the education I got only for the Christian Brothers in Greystones.
Do you think we've kind of forgotten this?
I think we have, yeah, definitely. And as well as that, we started a football club many years later, and the Paris Streets and Greystones and the Christian Brothers, they used to run us the football matches and help us get to the games themselves. They even helped us with the disco we were running. So I think the criticism has gone way over the top. Everything has got bad apples in it. Every organisation.
Yeah, but you see, I think when the point that Mark was making and Lise was making, that it's not just bad apples when it's an entire ideology that has brought us to where we are.
Yeah, well, I think also society forgets that we're looking at the situation now as against looking at it when, like it was back then, the way the attitudes to, you know, girls becoming pregnant and that kind of thing. It's a different attitude now as it was a different 20 or 30 years ago.
But you agree with Patricia that the debate has gotten...
I do, yeah, absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Okay,
the state get handed over the education facilities or the religious provided the education facilities, and even the hospitals were run by religious because the state couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
And people forget that.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, thanks for that. I want to bring in Pam. Pam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I've been listening to the debate there, and I think it's just so sad, you know, to hear, I suppose, both sides of it. But from my point of view, I was talking to your researcher there, and my own experience is I was trained by nuns in the late years as a nurse, and I went to an all-Catholic school, shall we say, girls' school, and I didn't have a positive experience, to be honest. It wasn't the rose-tinted glasses by any stretch of the imagination, and it kind of pains me in a way to have to say some of it, because nobody wanted that to happen except mostly the people going through it didn't, but my experience was that, you know, more people or nuns or religious, whatever way you want to put it, stayed quiet than spoke up. For example, if I was getting a hard time, you know, it would have been known, but no one came over and said, you know, whatever, that's not right. Or so there was a kind of a latent or a hidden or a complicity within it. And then,
are you saying this is when you were doing your nursing training?
No. This is when I was in primary and secondary school.
Right, and you were saying there was incidents there where that shouldn't have been allowed to happen.
100%. And one particular incident stands out, and I will never forget it as long as I live. But it was the overall...
We're talking about violence here at school.
Oh, we are.
When corporal punishment was still the norm.
Oh, yeah. But it was more insidious than that. It was, the best way I could describe it, that it didn't come from the right side of the tracks, i.e. you weren't of, you know, someone who had...
From a good family, yeah. With good and inverted commas.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that you were othered. You were othered and left out. And I suppose the modern term would be you were tagged as someone to kind of not bother with.
And is this by the nuns you're saying that they had a particular?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Now for me, I had a very strong mom, even though she was riddled with arthritis and was in a wheelchair most of my life. But she was very strong, and she would say to me when I came home, she would go, look, well, you've got to go to school, you've got to try and learn. But another story, she said, look, get through it, you're not living with them, you're coming home to a mother that loves you. And that kind of got me through to a point, but it didn't get me through at all. And it came to a head, I suppose, in secondary school, junior cert. It was inter-cert in our day, Katie, and I failed it. And I failed it for two reasons. One, because I wasn't the cleverest, I suppose, because I didn't have the input, I suppose. And the second was, I didn't have any confidence. And the third was, they wouldn't let me take the subjects I wanted. So, particular nun in question, anyway, not to ramble on about it, but said to me, you did an awful lot better than we thought you did, and tore up the envelope in front of me. And I walked out and I never went back. Right.
So you left school after the intercert because of
14 years later. I said, I am done. I cannot go back there. And I remember coming in the door to Mammy and saying, I'm not going back to them. I can't do this. And there was words and more and whatever. And eventually it was, well, okay, you're not going back. That's that. So long story short, I was sent to a researcher. I genuinely feel it will take Ireland a long, long time to get over the I suppose consequences of the care all over. Now, okay, there was one or two nuns in inverted commas, but they didn't say anything. Didn't do, you know, and it was later on then they said to me, when I went off and I trained as a nurse and I went back to night school and I tried and learned and I found out, oh, wait a minute, I'm not stupid.
do you know what I mean? But Pam, do you still, like, you know, this is not today or yesterday, obviously, in your case.
No.
But do you still have a strong sense of what happened? Has that stayed with you?
Now, Katie, here's the thing. Some people I went to school with do. They would absolutely have a very visceral reaction if they heard a certain nun's name or a certain teacher's name. I don't. Not anymore. I don't, because I just said to myself, they're not really getting that power over me. They might have had it when I was in the school desk and they're frightened the bejesus out of me, so much so that I actually urinated in the school desk, right? But that's another story. That's gone. That's done. But what I'm saying is the implications of that and all of that, and bringing it back to me going through education and getting my act together, if you want to put in those terms, and training as a nurse and facing this nun, one of the nuns anyway, coming down, she goes, oh, you know, in kind of a backhanded compliment. If you want to mention us, that we give us credit for your qualification or something like that. And I just said to her, well, if you think you deserve it, I will. But personally, I think I'd just leave it at that. And I walked off. Because, I'll be honest with you, I did have a positive experience. It wasn't all rosy in the garden either, don't get me wrong. But I did have a positive experience, a more positive experience than I did. And I suppose that in primary and secondary. And what I'm trying to say, I suppose, the ultimate point is, you know, when I went to care for, you know, the some of the demographic of people that would be taken care of, were riddled with this stuff, riddled with addiction, riddled with alcoholism, riddled with pain, riddled with arthritis, riddled with mental health issues as a result of some of the care they received. And I don't mean to be disparaging on any group, but that's the reality. The figures are there. You just have to look them up and say, oh my God, what have we done?
These are women who would have been through institutions run by nuns.
Yeah, and men, yeah. You know, it's frightening. If you hear the stories, you know, they might be in for, I suppose, a clinical presentation at the time, but it wasn't the clinical presentation brought in there, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Because the hardship and stress and just the non-care, oh my God, like, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I know you spoke about this a lot as well, Katie, and I just think it's just, and I can't, you know, sit here and say, look, it didn't have an effect on me, because it did. Well, I can only imagine, like, we've had an orphanage here in our town, and I can tell you, I can only imagine what it was like. I mean, my heart would just bleed with pain, and when you ask me, am I over it? Yeah. I am, until it comes to my grandnieces and grandnephews, and they go to school, and then I go, my God, they better be, and they're no saints, let me tell you, but that's not, yeah. You know,
but
no,
Pam,
no
but Pam, I suppose, Pam, the whole thing was, as you said, you had a mother who loved you to go home to, and there were children who didn't have that, that was their world, that was their life, so you can imagine the scars that would leave
scars,
with you.
The scars that went into it, and I know that some of the girls, you know, we didn't have much either, Katie. We didn't, you know, my dad wasn't the best in the world, but my mom was. And, you know, we didn't have a lot, but there was always food going. So she'd say, like, you know, bring something back or bring it up to the girls or something in case they'd be hungry. And that was the kindness. And I think in any debate, kindness has to be kind of somewhere in the middle of it. Yeah. And I'm not saying that you have to, I suppose... If what I'm trying to say is that if my
you saw the good and the bad, really, Pam, is what you're saying.
I did see the good and the bad, but ultimately, I suppose what I would say, as what I said at the start, was more stayed quiet than spoke up.
Yeah, and you would have, if more spoke up, the bad things that you saw might not have happened. Pam, I've got to take a break. Many thanks for that.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, and I think we still have Patricia there, but I want to bring in Connor now. Connor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, you agree with Patricia as well. You don't like what you're hearing.
Katie, to be honest, no, it's not that. I'm not particularly here to disagree with anyone. My heart goes out to the likes of Mark and the other people that have been, suffered with times past, but I'm from a Church of Ireland persuasion myself. I'm married to a Catholic woman. I kind of have an experience of both. I maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I went through a bit of difficulty with addiction, drinking.
Yeah.
And I just say it like we're giving out about the state, and we're giving out about, or we're not giving out here today, we're giving out about the nuns and I went to Coomber in Atai. It's run by the nuns, Sister Concilio. Mm-hmm. She has a number of places in Ireland, Newry, Cork, Galway, all over the country. And my experience with them was just completely non-judgmental, non-catholical, whatever word you want to use for that. It was just absolutely kindness, love, after support, no doctrinal, they run a tight ship and maybe...
And is there's no mention of it, because of course we often hear of the 12 steps, which is all about surrendering to a higher power. Is that part of the...
No, the 12 steps is not owned by the Catholic Church. Like, it might sound like that because the 12 apostles are... The 12 steps is a totally different... but it's a spiritual thing. But beyond that... from what I'm here today, and I feel the hurt of Mark, especially there, for you in the Magdalene laundries, and I hear other stories. I just feel, when I hear the likes of our minister talking about the nuns are gone, the nuns are gone, the nuns are gone, and the previous minister said it recently as well, Simon Harris, the nuns are gone. As if there's something really bad that has gone. I don't want them to be gone. Obviously, Ireland has changed. And the church has an awful lot to answer for. Both my church and the Catholic Church have an awful lot to answer for the wrongs they've done. But equally, and I would say this to any elderly, especially the elderly clergy that are out there, you've an awful lot to be proud of. For doing things that the state would not do. In a time when the state wasn't being run by the church, the state was being run by the people. As far as my history book tells me, this has been a republic since 1921. It was the people that voted in these governments that allowed this to happen. It was the people who voted in these governments that swanned up to the Catholic Church or the Church of Ireland or to big business. Like, we have it in everything. We have it in, and the majority of the Gardaí Síochána are absolutely brilliant people. I'm not going to go into another argument, but we have it in everything. And it's horrific what the church has done. And they have an awful lot to answer for, but they have an awful, awful, awful lot to be proud of too. And I was listening to Pádraig Tobin in the Dáil yesterday, and he encapsulated exactly my thoughts and a lot of thoughts of people around me, that were these organisations not there, and not for profit, were they not there to step in where the state was not willing to do it? We have had many ministers for health that have, even our last minister for health, absolutely left the elderly high and dry in the nursing homes, and I hope there'll be an inquiry into that. We live in a democracy. The state did not. The church did not run the state. The state ran the church. Our parents probably have questions to answer, or grandparents have questions to answer as to who they were voting for, and maybe it was a different climate where things weren't as exposed. And I really, really, really don't want to hurt. I don't want to add to the lesson marks hurt there. I can hear Breed. I'm actually not. I don't have aunts and uncles, nuns or priests, but I can hear her heart, and I can hear the heart of the likes of Sister Concilio, who has given her whole life to helping the people of inner city Dublin come down to a tie, get themselves back on the straight and narrow. If they fail, come back again. I know people that have been in there for 3 years. Come back again. She doesn't judge you. I shared a room with a chap from Algeria. Mohammed. I'm not. Everyone out there is Mohammed anyway, because they're Muslims. And lovely people. But he's in a Catholic organisation. He wasn't forced to do anything. All he was get back on the straight and narrow, trust in the higher power. And it's not the higher power that she was putting our trust. Just what Jesus preached when he was on earth was, love one another as I have loved you, or do unto others what you would do. And this is. It seems like a scapegoat because the state. In its righteousness, decides that we look for a scapegoat. They look for a scapegoat in many things. And then the HSE has a lot to answer for. The Department of Education has a lot to answer for. But most of all, what we should be doing is I don't want to draw a line in the sand like Raven Burke said, but what we need to do is have a look at ourselves, where we want to go. We need a healthy New Ireland where there is a place for our Islam friends, our nuns and our clergy.
And obviously, Conor, you're very, very grateful to Sister Concilio and the people working with her there for what she did for you. But you can see, though, can't you, why there would be questions around any religious ethos being involved in the development of a new hospital for, you know, that would be caring for women's health.
Women and men and little boys and girls. Look, we can have question marks about anything. These question marks seem to have arisen in the last few months. What I would say is people have to sit down. That's the only way to get through anything. It's the only way things are going to be resolved is people have to sit down and talk. Equally, the congregations. And look, there was no question marks. Like I said, we have a democracy since 1921. That's nearly 100 years. We're celebrating all these things. We should also be able to celebrate. Like, for argument's sake, when the minister was thanking everybody in the Dáil for, like, the nurses, and rightfully so, the nurses and the doctors and the Gardaí Síochána and
the frontline workers, yeah.
Yeah, frontline workers. The very people that were burying and consoling the victims of this pandemic were the elderly clergy, who were as exposed as anybody else, who put themselves there. I know from experience, when someone dies in your family, if you are of a religious persuasion, as it happens, I'm Church of Ireland, but you kind of do need that, and they didn't shut it down. And by God, the churches came, of all denominations, Islamic Shurim too, and Judaism, they all, you know, and people just need to calm down, stop looking for scapegoats.
And your point is, as you say, that people might have a lot to answer for, but they have a lot to be proud of as well. Conor...
I would say to the elderly clergy that are out there, of all denominations, you have a lot to be proud of. Some of you don't, but the majority of you do.
Okay, Conor, thank you for that.
Thank you, Kate.
But I want to go back to you, Patricia, if you're still there, because I think people are obviously very angry and very exercised about this issue for all sorts of reasons in their lives. But just to reiterate your original point, Patricia.
Yeah, I just want to take the opportunity to say sorry to people who might have felt that they were being referred to really badly in the media. So, like, I think all the callers today agree that in the end, only kindness matters. And we should treat others as we'd like to be treated ourselves. And that I just want to acknowledge the generations of girls who signed up for that and maybe who feel they're not being
thanked for it. So I want to say thank you to all those people who joined religious orders with love and ideals in their heart. And obviously, unkindness is wrong. And we all agree on that. And other than saying, please be kind to people, and thank you to those who sacrificed their lives, I have nothing else to say, really.
Okay. Let me bring in Francis then. Francis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You want to make a distinction between...
I just want to start off where things should begin, which is that sisters and nuns are not interchangeable. Sisters work in schools, hospitals, laundries, orphanages, and you have Sister Concilio, who is the Sister of Mercy. Nuns are contemplatives, and they live in monasteries, and they take vows of stability, and they make altar breads. They do not have anything to do with education, orphanages, laundries. So I think it's important to make that distinction. And anybody wants to know, just Google it, the difference between nuns and sisters.
Yes, but I suppose, to be fair, Francis, we have kind of used them interchangeably over the years to the degree that...
it's not right. And I think what's happened is you've blamed the nuns for works they were never engaged in.
Because we're really referring to sisters.
Exactly. So if you want to meet a sister, she can come out and go for coffee. If you want to meet a nun, you have to go to her convent. She'll be in a habit. Sisters have a choice, and most of them now are not in habits. So I think it's very, very unfair to the nuns, like the Carmelites near me, that they're blamed all the time. And they had nothing to do with any of these things.
Because they were never involved in...
They were never involved. The word nun is a female monk. That's what that means.
You're after clearing up something that I have wondered about for some time, actually, Francis.
Yeah, but I have tried in the papers and nobody's interested. So it'll behove how your listeners can have an accurate idea of exactly what we're all talking about.
Ah, well, to be fair now, Francis, I think our listeners know what they're talking about, whether they use the right terminology or not.
Well,
I think they know
it'd be a pity
what their personal experiences were. Yeah,
not to have the right terminology.
No,
for
and
the gentleman who spoke, he spoke about Sister Concilio. She'd be the first person to tell you she's not a nun.
Okay, have we lost Francis there?
No.
Okay, you're still there. No, I think we might... Okay, thank you for that, Francis. I want to bring in Ethna now. Ethna, good afternoon.
Hi.
Yes, your point, Ethna.
That I do feel the religious section do get very bad press all the time. You know, and there is a whole lot of, you know, there is a whole other side that is good. We all know that there were the bad nuns and the bad priests. But in society, you know, it's the same thing. There was bad fathers, bad mothers. They just forget, like, it always seems that they jump on the bandwagon for religious people. And like what somebody said there earlier, they forget all the good that they did.
Yeah.
They looked after orphans for years. They weren't cruel to them all. Okay, I know there were a few. But not all children were cruelly treated. And I don't condone what happened, the children, you know, that were cruelly treated. I do think nuns were thrown in at the deep end when they had to mind 50 and 60 children, maybe when there's only three or four of them. We all know what it's like to mind children, two or three children who are noisy, and, you know, how it would get to you. And you do feel like slapping them sometimes. But all I'm saying is I don't condone what happened to the children that were hurt and badly treated, and the girls in the homes as well. And just
can you really just put all that down to a few bad eggs, basically, when you think about the amount of damage that was done to the amount of people who were affected by this? You can't.
Yeah.
Can you just say that most people were great, and there was a few that you know should have done better?
I honestly don't know. I can't put, you know, a percentage on it. But all I'm saying is, you know, for all the bad there was there, there was good as well. And people forget that. That's all I'm saying. I was brought up in an orphanage. I'm not saying it was, you know, sunny every day, but we were well looked after. We got slapped with a wooden spoon when we were bowled. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, I can honestly say, you know, one nun in particular made a huge difference to hundreds of lives. She came to us from Drogheda, and the kids there loved her. We'd go up and see the kids that she had been with, and we got to know them over the years. Like, and there were lots of other nuns like that that people don't give credit to. That's all I'm saying. I don't condone what happened to people, you know, in the homes, the Magdalene laundries and that.
But you're saying we should acknowledge...
in relation to those as well.
Yeah.
Like, their parents put them into those homes when they became pregnant. I know they'll blame it on the church and say, oh, yeah, the priests and the nuns told them to do that.
But the parents have to take responsibility as well for what happened to their children. But to be fair, we were going back to a time when, you know, the priests and the nuns had huge sway over...
I agree.
Yeah.
But still, parents did it to their children, you know.
Yeah.
So do you not feel that they have to take a certain amount of responsibility for what happened to their daughters?
Indeed. There was a whole society complicit in what happened. But you've got to ask the question, though, who was leading the thinking at that time?
Yeah.
And it wasn't individual parents.
Yeah. And that was society everywhere. It wasn't just in Ireland. You know, the church did have a huge thing, and I'm not saying it was right. I don't think it was, because there we had a lot of bad eggs as well. But there were good people there. There were lots of good people there that people just don't think about.
Okay, I've got somebody who was there, I think. Martina. Martina, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Hi.
Yeah, you were a novice?
I was a novice, yeah, with the Sisters of St. Clair many years ago, like 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for a short time, well, a few months, I spent time in the convent they had, or the baby's home in Stubullen in County Meath. And I just wanted to say, while I was listening, I was driving up, I am pulled over now.
Good.
I never witnessed, me personally, I never witnessed any of the children being manhandled or mishandled. As a matter of fact, as far as I could see, they were all so well taken care of. Now, it was from babies up to age, I think, 5, they were preschool. There were a lot of them there. I mainly worked myself with the newborns, and I didn't even know for years and years later that actually a lot of those kids came from the mother and baby homes. I was totally unaware of that, but we are going back 40 years.
Are we going back? This is the 1980s we're talking about.
Yeah, it would have been around 1980. I joined the convent, I think, 1980, 1981. So,
would you accept, though, that, you know, and because we have heard a lot of testimony from children who went through institutions like this, maybe possibly earlier decades than the 80s, that there was, there was violence in those.
Oh, I accept that it was. I was taught by nuns when I was in primary school. And like I said to your researcher, you know, where you get a group of people anywhere, you're going to get the good, bad and the ugly. And that's just it. And with nuns as well.
But you're also going to get a culture, aren't you? Aren't you, Martina?
Sorry?
You're also going to get a culture in you know, when you have a group of people working together like that. And it was the culture that was the problem.
I just heard your... previous, the lady that was just talking, saying about parents having to take responsibility, some. I totally and absolutely agree with her, but like you say, it was the culture at the time. It was just acceptable. It was what people did. And I've always said, since the time I was a teenager, I've always said the most amazing thing to me in life is that people don't question. People don't question, and they just accept. I always question things, and that's why, I suppose as a young girl, I was always... going to know why I was here and the meaning of life. That's a young girl in I'm from Carlow, grew up, I wasn't exposed to any other religion, so I just went down that road because I was looking for the answers in life. Didn't find them there, that's why I left. But as far as the kids go, I just wanted to say, in my experience, and I am not in any way, shape or form just trying to defend the nuns, because I have moved, I don't even like the Catholic Church, to be honest. Now, I'm not getting into that, but for many obvious reasons that a lot of people don't, with the abuse that went on and with the blind eye that was turned. But in my personal experience, all I saw was that the nuns looked after those kids very well. There were a lot of young girls training to be nurses there, so they did a lot of work with kids as well. As far as I could see, they were nice girls. I never saw any child being treated badly.
Okay.
That's just my personal experience.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that, Martina.
No problem.
I've got a lot of calls coming through. I'm going to try and get in a few more. Eleanor, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you, Katie?
I'm good.
Good.
Where are you on this, Eleanor?
Where am I on this? I'm on this. My opinion is that we need complete separation of church and state. The church has a very checkered history in this country. It has inflicted incredible cruelty on people. I mean, it's well documented the cruelty that has been inflicted by representatives of particularly the Catholic Church, but also other churches, on the vulnerable. I mean, it's been documented in Tuam how children died of starvation. Babies died of starvation in Tuam while the nuns had plenty to eat. They had a kitchen garden, they had pigs, they had ducks, they had hens. They had no shortage of food. And yet there was children in their so-called care that died of starvation and of illnesses which could have been prevented. And that's only one example. Child trafficking, when children were taken from their birth mothers by force and sold to, in inverted commas, good Catholic families in America and Australia and other countries and all around Ireland.
But when Patricia says,
talking about individual nuns here. We're talking about an institution and the power that this institution had in this country.
But I suppose, sorry, Eleanor, but I think Patricia's point is you have to talk about individual nuns because that's who's hearing this and that's who an institution is made up of, individual nuns.
It's much more powerful than the individual member. I mean, nuns and priests joined probably for good reason. Some of them did. But they got sucked into this institution, which is all powerful and has wielded incredible power in this country. I mean, Dev went to Archbishop McQuaid before any law was passed to see was it okay with McQuaid. McQuaid tried to ban tampons in this country in case it would excite virgin girls. You know.
You don't have any sympathy for the likes of the women that Patricia is talking about?
I can't say I don't have any sympathy, but all I'm saying is we're talking about an institution and we're talking about control by an institution over parts of the state like health and education and other parts, and there should be separation.
Okay.
And
okay.
That's why I really feel that the National Maternity Hospital should be built on land that is owned by the state.
Okay.
Not by any institution.
Okay. Okay. Patricia? People.
Hi. I don't know what the right or the wrong answer to the National Maternity Hospital is, but the reason I called was just to say that it kind of is painful to me to see the way people are speaking about religious sisters, and I just wanted to acknowledge all the good they had done.
But religious sisters have also inflicted incredible cruelty on the most vulnerable
people. As have people of every single hue and colour ever born.
Yeah, but I don't know of any other profession in this country that has actually involved itself in child trafficking on a profiteering basis.
I mean, there were doctors involved.
There were priests involved. I don't know if there were doctors involved in actual child trafficking. But as an institution, this was part of the whole institution. And what about the child sex abuse? Okay, other people were involved in child sex abuse, but there were paedophile rings in the Catholic Church. The Catholic
Absolutely.
Church protected paedophiles within
Absolutely.
Its own ranks.
100% wrong. Absolutely. And again, I would reiterate.
Eleanor, Patricia's saying it was 100% wrong.
Oh,
what
yeah,
happened?
I understand. Sorry, I can't really hear very well on this phone.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to take my last break. I'll take that now. We'll come back to you after. Joe
Duffy. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we'll try and get in another call just before at the top of the hour. Valerie, good afternoon.
How you doing, Katie? How are you?
I'm very well.
I just Yeah, I just bumped in to say that I was actually educated by the Sisters of Charity. I nearly had a heart attack when I heard you mention that name. Our principal, I left school in the 80s. Our principal was a nun or a sister, and her famous saying to us was, "Say you're ugly, say you're ugly." And she would get us to repeat, "I'm ugly, I'm ugly."
Why?
And I'm sure other people that are listening to this know exactly the nun that I'm speaking about. And if you could help you if you were sent into the office, if you were in trouble, you know, if you were in trouble with the teacher or whatever that you were sent down, she would get you by the knuckles and say, "Say you're ugly, say you're ugly." And I can still picture that nun. She's as if she's standing in front of me now. Just total flashback the minute you said it. And that was my experience with nuns.
Oh, my God. That is obviously somebody not suited to the profession of teaching young girls.
A principal of a school, Katie. A principal of a school, a girls' school in Dublin. And as I said, I'm sure there's many people listening to this programme will click straight away. I know who that is.
Yeah, you're not going to forget. You're not going to forget that if you were standing in that office.
I will never
forget
that. And I panic now because I have three daughters myself. And I panic now to think that the nuns would have control of them if they were to go into a hospital. I don't think the government should have allowed the nuns or the church to have this ground. That ground, money, everything should have been taken off people, the likes of the nuns and that, and given to the victims.
Valerie, I'm going to have
for compensation.
Okay, Valerie, thanks for coming on and making the point, and thank you, Patricia. You made your point, I think, and you stood up for what you think should be said the sisters. I've been corrected on that front, but that's all we have time for today. Today's producer was Brenda Donoghue. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon. Jamie Doyle was on sound. Stand by for Ray Darcy up next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.